Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it is great to be with you. Today we are going to be talking about burnout. And several years ago, I ran across a really helpful article that was talking about burnout, and they used this new term called brownout, which I was not familiar with, but it's essentially kind of those signs and indicators that we can tend to feel right before we totally burn out. And there was something about that idea of a brownout that felt very freeing to me, because I think sometimes it can feel embarrassing to admit that we are either burnt out or on the way towards burnout. And yet I think that that's exactly where the intersection of contemplative spirituality can help us, is in those moments of recognizing we feel a little misaligned, we feel a little off, or we're just totally fried. And when I think about what I have to do most of my day, I feel dread. Those are indicators that we are either rapidly approaching burnout there or somewhere in brownout. So today we want to talk a little bit about this idea and how we have found help through contemplative practices in our own lives.
Yeah, I think this is a very relevant topic, particularly right now towards the tail end of the pandemic. One of the things that I found being in a caregiving profession and surrounded by lots of people who are in caregiving professions, they are at risk. I feel like they're at high risk for brownout or burnout. I think what comes up for me, I think in that particular season of one's life, this burnout or brownout, it often feels like you're alone in this place internally. I think one of the best books that I've read that sort of helps people in caregiving roles to move forward is Hidden Wholeness by Parker Palmer. And he works specifically with teachers, individuals in the medical field as well, to be in these groups that are called, you know, circles of trust. And what one does in a circle of trust is talk about where they're at in life. And I think just like maybe someone who was in Alcoholics Anonymous, I think there's this feeling of solidarity, right? I'm this place that I'm at in life. There are many other people that are in the same place in life as I am. And so I think for burnout or brownout, I think that could be super helpful, as being involved in a circle of trust where other people who are in similar life circumstances can offer encouragement to you in your particular season. So that's what comes to mind for me as I think about burnout or brownout.
Chris, I appreciate you bringing up the thought about caregivers, because I do think that that's particularly challenging for caregivers, because we really do care about the people. And I think sometimes there's this tension we can feel of, I love the people, I understand the value in which I do, and yet the schedules become too demanding, I don't have enough time for myself to replenish. And so there tends to be this tension with the caregivers, who just are so deep feelers and lovers of human beings, to then have those places where we can let down our guard and admit some of this stuff, I think feels very vulnerable. So I appreciate you highlighting that today.
Yeah, I actually just saw a post from a friend who does telehealth probably mostly these days. And she recounted this whole thing about she had gone to an office, but the cord was at home. So she went back to the house and she started a session, and they just got to a really great place. And then their daughter came in and something had overflowed, like really bad overflowed, going through the ceiling overflowed. She had to shut down the session. So this is the state of things sometimes, is the reality. And even those giant moments of stress can cause us to be like, I don't know how I got to this place where I'm doing all these things, and whatever made me think that I could do all these things. and I've certainly been in that space myself a number of times. So, and I don't even know where this came from. I wonder if in the Wisdom Distilled book they talk about it, but there's this thing of a rule of life. I don't think I got it from a book originally. I think I went to a retreat. And I can't say enough good things about retreats, is the reality, because it's a real time to just slow down And every time I go into a retreat, I have to put myself in that frame of mind to say, this is actually a time where I don't have to engage everything. So maybe it was at a retreat, but we talked about this rule of life and we got a little piece of paper or something and we could just write down, what do I need? How often would I need that in my life? And so I started doing that a number of years ago now. And I still get off track is the reality, right? I need to redo it every now and again because life changes. But it helps me feel like I'm not stealing. Like, okay, if I'm going to take this 15 minutes, if I'm putting that in my workday, I can feel like I'm stealing from my workday. But in fact, that's actually good for my workday. And I need that time to recharge and to hear. So I don't know. That's my first impression as we start talking about all of this. The rule of life has been so helpful for me.
I like the notion that we can like maybe do some practices that help us in to keep from burning out. But I think I also want to say that burnout isn't necessarily a bad place. Like, oh my gosh, my life is out of control. I think burnout could be a very good place for many people. I think it depends on, you know, a lot of times we like to ascribe places that we're in life as good or bad. Where I don't think it's either. I think it just is, right? This is the place that you find yourself. And so when I think about, yeah, sure, there are some contemplative practices that you can put into your life, you know, some things that you could incorporate into your day, whether it's mindfulness practices, meditation, centering prayer, or types of prayer. Sure, I think those are wonderful things that anyone, regardless of where they're at in life, can implement in their day, and it's going to be nothing but good for them. But I also think that understanding that we reach a place of burnout, that it could be a great place for us. And I think of like, if you're looking to a visual picture, I think of like one being in the wilderness, right? You've reached this, like, what, there's nothing around me. There's no signposts. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. So I think people reach burnout in their jobs and like, what do I want to continue doing this? Is this going to be fulfilling to me for the rest of my life? Or do I look at another career change? You know, there are lots of things that could lead us to burnout. But you know, I think about someone wandering around in a wilderness, and that's the place that they need to be. That's exactly where their soul is going to emerge, and they're going to be guided by their interior into what to do next. And often I don't think you can really, the soul, you know, the shy soul will not emerge until it reaches a place like a wilderness experience to guide us. And obviously there are practices that you can get for discernment, you know, these discernment practices. But I think for many people, it's that place of the wilderness. It's the wandering around. It's the what do I do next that leads them to the next thing that they're going to enter into in life. So that's another thing that comes up for me when we talk about burnout.
Yeah, and I'm reminded of, you know, a very well-known Psalm 23, where it describes, you know, the Lord is my shepherd and he leads me to green pastures. And I think often in our lives, we have these pastures, whatever that means for us, that are really nourishing to our souls. And maybe it feeds us for a very long time in our lives, sometimes even years. But often what happens is that no longer, like, there are now nubs. The green pasture has been eaten down and there is nothing left. And I think we can try to, but this is my green pasture. I need to be able to have these go-to things that nourish my soul. And so it can feel a little bit disorienting. But according to Psalm 23, Jesus is leading us to new green pastures. And sometimes I think that's where this burnout situation, where recognizing, okay, it's not that this is bad or that I'm doing something wrong or anything like that. It's just that this pasture's eaten up. It needs time to replenish. And there's another new pasture over here in which I can graze. And I think sometimes that can be an internal soul things, or even like Chris, you're talking about vocation. Sometimes it is external shifts that happen. And you know, I have found in my own life, sometimes a micro adjustment is huge, right? It's not like I have to quit my job and move to the Amazon and become a missionary to tribal people. maybe that's the case for some, but I think oftentimes when we have these micro adjustments in our lives of, you know, I'm noticing, I'm aware that these particular things, when I look at on my calendar, I am dreading, I have to kind of grind through this. These things I'm looking forward to, paying attention to, this is what shimmers in my day. This is not shimmering. Okay, I'm noticing that, I'm aware of that. And how do I continue to inch towards more of this and less of this, which takes some boldness and owning up to things. But yeah, I think that there's something to that green pasture image as well.
Yeah. In the book, Joy Unspeakable, so Barbara A. Holmes writes this one, and I have processed this book so slowly, just looking for all of the nuggets in it. But she talks about the contemplative. It's like a couple chapters of trying to define it. And I feel like every conversation I'm in, there's always some level of, what is the contemplative? What does it mean? Oh, of course, whatever definition. But I found one that has worked for me is to say, among other things, so that we can keep incorporating all the things, the contemplative helps us open to the awareness of God, right? Which is a lot of what we're talking about. And as I've slowly digested her book, I feel like she's naming a few things that that space leads us to. So like wisdom, like what you guys are talking, right? We're sort of talking about, we get these little nuggets, we could try this, we could do this. We get love, we get healing. We're often inspired towards some sort of an action. And as I talked with my husband, like his mind in action went to like feed the world, right? And I was like, maybe, but maybe it's just this little shift, like what you're talking about. And so as we even listen to one another, we can have these big grandiose ideas. Sometimes it is really minuscule, but it makes a really big difference in our lives. So I appreciate what you're saying around all of that. And I also find it really helpful, like, why am I going to use the contemplative? Because I'm going to open to the awareness of God. I'm going to open to the God idea here, which Lord knows is so helpful in the midst of. Because I do think the heart, at least my heart, gets so involved in everybody's story. And I don't think it's immediately obvious all the time that I have a little bit of introvertedness in me. And so I need that downtime. Everyone just assumes you're always in front of people, so you're always instigating another event and more people, so you must be extroverted. But actually, I get tired and I need to regroup. And so these little moments with God help me to recognize these things about myself. And not just, I can then, sometimes I don't love that about myself, right? I want to be that person that can go, 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 and now I can't go. So now I'm disappointed in me. And so finding that space to get the healing even for all of that feels very helpful.
Yeah, Christina, I know you mentioned a moment ago about retreats, and I think that, you know, I love in my own life kind of watching different seasons where I have met with God through some really strong brownouts several years ago that I was facing, and the role that retreats play in that. But I also just think about, and I've never done this, but couch to 5Ks. I love the concept of it, right? Where in order to get to the 5K, I think day one, you're like walking around the block, or you're like running for a minute, walking for a minute. It's a very paced thing. And I think sometimes as we're thinking about this, again, it's great if we can go on a retreat for a day or a weekend or whatever. Yes, absolutely do that. But I think sometimes whatever the equivalent of walking around the block, quote unquote, is, that's a great starting place. And especially if our souls are undernourished, you know, I think, Chris, to your point earlier with the pandemic, and, you know, I was talking to a teacher the other day that, and I hadn't seen her in a year. We were outside talking, and she is normally the most like upbeat, loves educating, so passionate about her work. And she was really jaded. And I just walked away and I had noted, wow, like I can tell this has been, and you know it, you read the articles, we hear about how tough it's been, but to actually see someone who I care about and it's like, wow, this is like a totally different person. And I can tell that her soul is so undernourished, and new soul, like I'm engaging in that way. She's not using that language. If someone is malnourished, you don't serve them a steak dinner, right? You start with a simple broth with lots of nourishments and vitamins and things like that, and kind of work up to things. And so, you know, I think there's a beauty about walking alongside a spiritual companion to help with that re-nourishing back to towards more health and alignment in our lives.
Yeah, and I like the whole awareness piece that we're lifting up today. I think that's what the contemplative does, right? It's this idea that we want to become aware of of our story, when we want to become aware of how others are involved in our story. And, you know, I think one of the things that we brought up earlier was this notion of noticing, like, what is life giving in my day? What in my day just was utter, just yuck? What was gross? And I think, you know, the whole awareness piece is huge as we, you know, we contemplate our lives, as we look at how our days are going, how our month is going. So for me, I just really, I'm drawn back to, like, how can I be more aware of the movements of God in my life through contemplation? And so, yeah, I love having conversations like this for this very thing.
Well, great. Thanks so much for engaging in burnout land with me. So this is the part of the podcast where we talk about what we are into this week.
So I think we're probably nearing the end of this season, but it's kind of pineapple season right now. And so I'm so into it. We buy like two of them and we wait for them to get golden. And then we cut them open and they're so sweet. And the kids are excited to take them for their snack times. And that has been just my absolute love the last month or so.
Nice. Well, I have been into next door side gigs, and most of them have revolved around some sort of mulching, weeding, cultivating gardens. And so I found it to be a spiritual practice that I've just recently discovered. I've been involved with the Franciscan Spirituality Center for a few years now, and a very Franciscan thing to do is to have communion with nature, and, you know, brother, sun and sister moon, and, you know, talking to the, and I find that as I'm like mulching and I'm weeding and I'm, you know, trimming back certain lilies, it's the spiritual practice that I've been engaging in that, you know, hasn't been a part of my life before, and it's good. I really like it. So next door side hustle nature.
Maybe I'll add to that because I live in the same household with you, is we're doing this with our, so Chris takes one of our kids with him each time he does this because we're trying to teach our kids work ethic and things like that. And I grew up with a family restaurant, so we always had that. And so these are our older kid can mow lawns. So she goes and partners with Chris mowing an elderly person's grass, and then our younger one does the mulching. So it is a family next door side gig event. Well, I am into comfortable camping chairs. So I facilitated a retreat last week with pastors here in the area, and somebody had this amazing, and I've seen these different rocking chair camper things that look super comfortable and cool. This guy, it was like the deluxe amazing thing. So I splurged, and it should be arriving, I think, today or tomorrow. So I am excited for my sort of hydraulic kind of rocking camping chair from some camping place. I'm thrilled to do that. So, well, thanks for joining us today for the Contemplative Life. We welcome you to check out our website if you're wanting to get in touch for more resources. Also, if you are listening to the podcast and then enjoy it, one thing that really helps us, if you could leave a rating or review on iTunes, that helps others to find us. So on that note, thanks, and we look forward to connecting with you next week.